Blog Talk Radio. Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina with another edition of the Yehuda Project. Oh, boy, am I glad to be here today. It is the first day of the week again. What a blessing it is. Hello to everyone. Brother Yerushalayim and Brother Uriah, if you can hear me, please push one. Shalom, shalom, everybody, everybody, la-di-da-di. I hope you have enjoyed this day. It has been a blessing. Shalom, shalom. Thank you much. Well, I had a chance to listen to the videos that we put up, and they sound really good. I would have liked a little more participation from you guys, but it sounded really, really, really good. You know, and you know what? And we got feedback from some folks that ain't even associated with first time ever, a whole nother group stepped up and was going to tell me about male today. And to the brother, I appreciate the email. I appreciate that, but unfortunately, we don't believe that. I ain't going to get into no whole lot of stuff because that's something we don't do. But thank you so much for your feedback and all your good stuff. And, you know, we just stick to the word of Yah. We make sure we stick to the word. You know, so that's where we are with what we believe. We stick strictly with the word. Now, sometimes we read other books that are associated with the word, but we stick with the word. But again, I appreciate you. I do appreciate you. All right, area code 717, did you push one? Let me open up your mic. If you push one, your mic is open. You have something you want to say?
Yeah, I had a question.
Go ahead. What's the question?
What was the song you was playing when, like the waiting queue for you to come in? Do you know what the name of the song is?
That's called Southern Girl by Frankie Beverly and Maze.
Okay, thank you, because we were trying to look it up on Shazam, and Shazam had no idea what the song was.
Pull it up on YouTube. Just type in Southern Girl, Frankie, Beverly, and Maze. That's all you got put in there.
All right, thank you.
My pleasure. All right, you guys. I hope you guys enjoyed the teaching. You know, I'm getting excited, you know, because every time we haven't put a lot of stuff out here in a minute. And we're starting to put stuff out. I'm trying to put at least two or three videos out a week. So, you know, it was very clear, very concise. It was very good teaching, very plain teaching. I wish, you know how you listen to stuff and you say, dang, I should have said this, or doggone it, I should have said that. You know, I went through that. But, you know, for the most part, I think it was pretty good. I think we did really good. You know, we put out some quality information. You know, it wasn't no crazy stuff all over the place. And Yah is truly blessing us to be able to do that. And it's a blessing. We've been around a long time. You know, so we are continuing to keep the fight. Hold up the bloodstained banner. You know, we're doing what we're supposed to do and keeping it moving. So it's all truly a blessing. Anybody have any questions about yesterday's teaching? Anything that you want to add? Anything you want to ask? Any question about anything? Please feel free to do that. Push one if you have any questions, comments, or just a conversation that you would like to have. You know, what I see happening is that Yah is using the simplicity of the word and the power of it to really communicate to people. You know, and it's a worldwide communication to the Israelites that are all over the world. You know, we have to really begin to let them know, you know, that we've been doing it anyway, but through his word is where that power is. It is in his, that's, his word is what he stands on. His word is what he gonna back up, and that's just the truth, you know. And you guys stayed in that word, and it was a powerful thing. It really was, you know. I would like to talk a little bit more about Jerusalem and how powerful Jerusalem is as a city. But I think, like I said, I think when we, overall, we covered a lot of information, and it was just enough. You know, I know that some of you said you was gonna go back and re-listen to it, and you were going to go back and study it, you know. But, you know, the world doesn't really know a lot about regeneration. The church doesn't teach about regeneration. You know, they don't. They teach about rapture. They teach about resurrection. And they don't teach about regeneration because they have come up with their own method of how to be born again. And it's a, you know, it's a conflict. And as I was listening to the video that we put up, I came to realize something, that in his kingdom, there will be no churches. There will be no churches. There will be no organized religion when he comes to set up his thousand-year reign. There will be no Catholics and Protestants and Methodists and Holiness and PAW and PCAF and Church God. It's not going to be none of that. It won't be any of that. Even though there will be multiple people there of multiple different nations, it won't be no churches. So the difference between his kingdom and this kingdom is that there is a system set up to rebut us in terms of the law. So, but when his kingdom comes, everybody's going to have to keep the law. And it's just simple as that. You know, so it is really interesting how this thing is really being played out. And I think it's amazing how, you know, you realize what will be erased. All of the systems that the God of this world has put in place, and we know that we're talking about Lucifer, has put in place, will dissipate in his thousand-year reign. He's not going to be there. It will not be there. And that is something that I look forward to establishing and bringing to knowledge because, you know, what it's just a powerful thing. And when you look at, when you compare the kingdom to come and the kingdom that we're in, it's going to be like night and day. There'll be no wars. There will be no news reporters reporting on war. There will be no killing of nations coming against nations. It won't be none of that. It really won't. So, you know, I was just like, wow, you know, when that knowledge dropped down into my mind and it came to my thoughts, I was like, wow, you know, this is going to be a totally different kingdom. And then I wonder, you know, should we put this information out there? You know, should we tell them everything, you know, that we know about the scriptures and the word? Should we reveal all of the things that we know? Because what I have noticed is that a lot of the people, especially the people of the other nations, are trying to reteach what we've been teaching and put a spin on it like it pertains to them. And it's like, should we really go there and really let it flow out? I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, you know, I'm just asking, you know, because we can get deep. You know, without getting weird. You know, we don't follow the Kabbalah, and we don't believe in the Israeli language, and we don't believe in none of that, none of it, none of it. You know, we don't follow none of that stuff. You know, so we keep it strictly about his word because he honors his word and he stands by his word. You know, and that is what's going to validate our teaching is because we stay in that word. And they cannot come against that word, you know. So, I mean, you know, it's a lot of information because, like I said, regeneration, they don't teach. I've never heard of that in the church. And I'm in my 60s. I have never heard anybody talk about regeneration in the church ever because they teach rapture. They teach if you follow what he tells you to follow and you're born again, you will be raptured away, and then you will come back as immortal. Nobody teaches about regeneration because in order to do that, you would have to let the people know that they are Israel, the real Israel know that they're Israel, and they just don't do it. They don't do it. It's just something they just don't do. So, you know, I'm just real curious to see, you know, how this is going to play out because it's very important. And these are languages. This is lessons for the Israelites. For you all to understand, you know, especially those people that are awakening, for you all to understand, you know, so that you don't get misled in the teachings. Because there's a lot of stuff out there that will have you way off into the deep end. All these deep Israelites, you got to be careful. I'm serious, you really do. You have to be careful, you know. So just take the simplicity of the word, and it is powerful when it is read. Just and understand the simplicity of the word. You know, you have to understand that. And you guys do excellent when it comes to asking questions. I mean, you got some good questions. I think it's amazing. You know, so I just wanted to say that, and you know, to bring that to mind because we have to really stay focused. And you know, I know this double Sabbath was difficult. Because I had really planned on, you know, doing some other stuff, but we made through it. You know, we gotta get to, I think the sun goes down here at 7:43. We have to get to that, and then once we do that, we can resume, you know, activities as usual. You know, but we do the best we can where we are. We, you know, we keep it, we put forth an effort. You know, all praise be to the Most High Yah. You know, so I am really happy about, you know, what I heard over the internet. I'm really excited about going forward again, you know, and putting this information out there and letting people, because they're gonna just like the brother found me, I ran into one of your videos. Yeah, well, you know, I'm glad that you was watching. So that means that people are listening. And all praises be to the Most High Yah. You know, I just think it's a blessing. You know, all of it. All of it. You know, and the whole thing, the coming back and, you know, people, I think that's just amazing. I really do. I really do. I think that's just amazing. It's just amazing, you know, that you get to come back. You know, and that there's no new thing under the sun. There's nothing new. Nothing in this earth is new. All this phone, cell phone technology and 5G, there is no new thing under the sun. It's already been. It's just recycling itself for this generation. Because the Most High said this is the last generation that will see the things that will come to pass. This is the generation that will see all of the things that are about to happen. That's a whole nother teaching by itself. It's so much to learn. It is so much to learn. I am really serious, and I'm excited about it. I am so excited, you know, to be able to, because we learn from each other. You know, it's the meeting of the minds. You know, all praises be to the Most High. It's the meeting of the minds. You know, to be able to have a class where we are actually spending time sharing our knowledge with each other. Anybody have any questions? Comments or whatever, any questions at all whatsoever. And you know you're on the right track when they come into critique. It's like, wow, really? Okay, dear. I'm excited. I really am. I am excited, you know. But we're gonna really start dealing with this second Exodus stuff, because we've got to get out there. We got to get out there in front of all of the people who are trying to profit off of this thing. We've got to really start dealing with that. And that's something that will be next. You know, we've had a voice for a long time. You guys better listen. You better listen. I mean, for real. Because everybody's trying to do what they do. And I hope it's under the power of Yah. And you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, but here we go. I mean, you know, it's nothing we can do but just show you what that word says. Because that word is what you're going to have to measure these people up against. Not what come out their mouth, but what that word says. You know, and that's the powerful thing, is about what that word says. That's what you're going to have to measure them under, is what the Most High said in his word. Because quietly they fought us when we were talking about the 400 years, they fought us. You know, and now, they're you know, here we go. I mean, it's happening again, all praises. But we just have to keep, faithful to what his word says. You know, you have to keep faithful to what his word said. And know that he's going to stand by it no matter what. No matter what it says and what it does, he's going to stand by his word. And we, you know, we don't want to lead anybody astray or have anybody feel like somebody is misleading them or letting anybody else mislead you. Because we got to be true to what his word says for us to do. And a lot of people don't believe that. But we've got to be. We've got to be true to what his word says, that it is going on, because it's happening. And you, like that man said, you know when you're on the right track. Not when the good guys come, but when the bad guys show up. That's when you know. So. I hate talking to myself. Anybody out there? Shalom, everybody. Anybody? Everybody. Hello.
Hello. Is that Aina? Sister Ina?
She's there.
All right. All right, 717, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Okay, yeah, I have a question. It doesn't really relate to what we're – I guess, like, it kind of does, but
– Okay, go for it.
All right. I know before we have discussed, like, during, like, one of our Shabbat classes or even our discussions in general regarding visiting a graveyard. So I know, like, there's somebody in my household that recently did it where they went to go visit a passed away family member, and then they came back, and I know that they had spirits attached to them when they came back, because I know last night with me, I was asleep, and I had woken up, like, I was waking up from a dream. And I didn't, like, I knew I wasn't fully up, but I knew I was awake. And I knew I went to go lift up my leg to go get off the bed, and I felt something push my leg back. And then it sat on my chest near my face, and I couldn't move. I couldn't move or get up. But I was calling on the Most High, and it lifted up, so I had to wake up and anoint myself and anoint my bed and rebuke stuff. But is the whole, yeah, it happened. It happened to the man that went to the graveyard, too. So, yeah, and it attacked him, too. It did the same thing and held him down. So I'm just curious, is that, like, visiting graveyards, is that something that's in Scripture, like, not, like, something that we're not allowed to do?
No, he doesn't say that. It just, because, I mean, this, we read that Scripture yesterday about the priesthood. And it talked about when people die. You know, we read that, I think it was in Ezekiel 44. Hold on, let me find it for you. And it was talking about dead bodies. Now, you're not supposed to have an open bottle or anything in a room with a dead body because it is considered unclean. But people died all the time in the Scriptures. And we had to attend funerals. I mean, that was something that we did. And you know, let's see, I think it's Ezekiel 44 and 25. It says, and they shall come, and no dead person to defile themselves, but for father or for mother or for son or for daughter or for brother or for sister that have no husband, they may defile themselves. So we officiated over funerals just like they do today. I mean, we have to go to the graveyard just like they had to then. The only issue is that, you know, you're unclean for 7 days. Now, you know, as far as spirits and stuff jumping on you or whatever, you know, that can happen anywhere. I mean, whether it's a graveyard or somebody's house, you can walk through. It just depends on what area that you put yourself in, you know. So, you know, that's something that you have to continue, you know, to rebuke yourself, I mean, rebuke the spirit. It says in Numbers chapter 19, he that touches the dead body of any man shall be unclean for 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purifies not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever touches the dead body of any man that is dead and purify himself, not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Most High, and that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled on him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. This is the law when a man dieth in a tent. All that come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. Every open vessel which have no covering bound upon it is unclean. So, you know, it's that the Most High has rules, and whosoever touches one that is slain with a sword in an open field or a dead body or a bone of a man or a grave shall be unclean for 7 days. So you're not even supposed to walk on top of a grave. But guess what we have to do? We do, because the way the system is set up, when you take those bodies to the grave, you're walking on top of other people. You know? So, that's just how he has it set up. You know, and that's just the way that we are living. That's why I said, even in this society, that's what I said earlier, in this society where the Most High Kingdom has not come, and we're living under the kingdom of people who do not worship him, do not keep his laws, and tell us we don't have to keep his laws, these are the things that we're being subject to. It just is what it is. I mean, there's no other way around it. So for 7 days, you're unclean. And I know a lot of Israelites that don't even go to funerals. They don't even show up in a room with a dead body. They won't even come. And my family, they like, nope. You know, we'll see y'all once it's over, but nope, I'm not, no. You know, so it's really very, very difficult. You know, we do the best we can. You know, but as far as spirits is concerned, that can happen to you anywhere. You just have to rebuke it, you know, and do what you need to do to separate yourself from that. You know, you just have to, and keep yourself covered, you know, with the Most High, because that can happen anywhere. People into so much stuff. Hold on. Erico 504, your mic is open. I'm going to leave your mic open, sis. Erico 504, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, I really enjoyed the class yesterday, and I was thinking of what the young lady was saying about, you know, the bodies and stuff. And I know back in the early 70s in Greenville, South Carolina, my grandfather had passed. And my family, we traveled there from out of state, and we were staying at the house of the deceased. But we didn't know that they brought the body to your house.
Mm-hmm.
They put it in the living room with the casket half open and a candle, and I was like, the lady, like, you know, should we be sleeping in the same house with the body there? But that morning they came, you know, and closed the casket, and you followed them out, you know, the procession for the funeral. But I had never experienced anything where the body stayed in your house like that, you know. But nothing that I remember got attached to me or anything like that. So I just wanted to, you know, emphasize that.
Yeah, my grandmother and them used to say that too, down south. They was good for rolling the body up in the house. That's where everybody came to see the body. You know, they didn't have, you know, access to funeral homes and stuff then. You had to bring it on. I can't imagine.
Right. I don't know if they're still doing that today, because like I said, that was way back in the 70s, early 70s. So I don't know what they're doing today.
Mm-hmm. That's too much going on. Go ahead. Brother Leonard, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was just saying, when you read the verses, it's touching. It's how you become unclean. When you're touching the body, that's where the drama come in at. But
yeah.
it's not only human. It's an animal that die of themselves. Dead animals.
That's
you can't be just come
that's
unclean.
True. Ooh. That's true. Right. You know how we used to lay on our family members? I ain't never kissed no corpse. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I mean, you know, even my grandma, I watched her because I just looked at her like, that's not her. She gone. I mean, you know, and it just was, And
yeah,
people be
sounding
like, mm-mm.
Yeah, I have something else I want to say. Hello?
Go ahead.
Hello? Yeah.
Go ahead, you're on there.
Yeah, I was sitting there thinking about, you know, in Malachi and Ezekiel, he says he's going to bring back the whole house of Israel. And I was thinking about the system that's in place right now. Nathan and all them right now, if they come back right now, they be doing 2 or 3 life sentences. Because if they had to execute the Most High's law, facts, and judgment, they'd be doing life sentences.
That's true. That's true. That is so very true. That's the truth. I mean, it is. It's just the truth. But this system is set up that way. That's why I said when you understand, and I think that this is the hardest thing to understand. When you understand the system and the people that we are under now is totally separated from his laws, his statutes, and his commandments, that everything is totally against it. Everything we see, everything we eat, the clothes that we wear, the things that they view, give us to view on the television set. I mean, everything is set up against it, and it's really, they make it really difficult, hard for you to do it. They do. They do. Now, if you want to do organized religion, everybody's gung-ho for it. They are gung-ho for it. They stand for it. They fight for it. They justify it. But when you talk about his laws, statutes, and commandments, it's a wholly different situation. And what gets me is in the churches that's supposed to represent him tell you you don't have to keep them. That right there lets you know that those people are not the people. They just, it's just not. It's just no other way around it. So, I mean, you know, I agree with you. I agree. I mean, if Samuel and Nathan and King David and all of them was to be resurrected today and go to Jerusalem and just stand in the streets of Jerusalem and listen to them people talk, they wouldn't even know the language. They'd be like, what is this? Right? You know, who is all these people? You know, they wouldn't even know the language. They wouldn't know nothing about the language. Nothing. You know, so it's very interesting, you know, to see the things that are happening. And frustrating. Extremely frustrating. And to see the churches that are set up in the thing, it's a mess. It's just a mess. It is a real mess. But there ain't nothing you can do. You can do nothing but watch it and prepare. That's all you can do is watch it. You can't change it. Watch it and prepare. It's really something. But, yeah, when it comes to dead bodies, we're not supposed to touch nothing that has died. Like he said, died of itself. You find a dead animal on the ground, you're not even supposed to touch blood. I mean, when we cook our food and some of us like to eat meat, you know, that's animal. Those animals are dead, and when that blood is sought out, that meat is sought out to cook, it bleeds. You're not even supposed to touch it. So, I mean, you know, all of those things. But nobody, you know, it's just a joke. I mean, all this stuff is a joke. The stuff that they have set in front of us to make us feel like this is holiness is a joke. It is. It's a big joke. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's nothing. I'm telling you, it's a joke. And you have to be honest. It's just not. You know, it's not what it's set out to be once you know the word. Because you have to know the word to know that. You have to, you know. And the pastors get up one day out of the week on Sunday and sing it to everybody like a storyteller. And people talk about, you know, that was deep. No, you're going to be held accountable because he said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, you ain't supposed, nobody should, you should know your word. You should know it. And it's just simple as that. It's unfortunate. It really is an unfortunate thing. When it comes to evil spirits and spirits getting on people, you know, that's something that happens anywhere. You have to really begin to pray and how to cast that stuff down because there are people who send spirits to people. It's all kind of stuff jumping off. You know, you have to pray on those things. Those things are the things that happen. No, it's just weird. It is. It's the society that we live in. It's just really a strange society, boy. I'm telling you, we have really been put in the middle of a situation when you really see it. When your eyes are really open, you be like, oh, my goodness, look at all this. There's so much stuff. And I have a hard time looking at Jerusalem. I have a hard time with that. That's hard for me. I mean, you know, to see those people in our land and to see the customs that they have created and the tourist attractions and all the stuff that they're creating. But the Most High sees it, and that's his city. That's his land. So if he can deal with it, I have to deal with it because he's allowing that. He has allowed that, and there's nothing you can do about it. You know? It's just not no joke. It's some serious stuff going on. Whew. But I, like I said, I have family members that won't even show up. If there's a body in there, they ain't coming. They ain't coming. They not going to be there. I'm just going to be telling. We're totally 100% honest. Now, if it's their father or mother, yes, they come. You know, sister or brother, yes, they come, like the scripture said. But like cousins and aunts and uncles, they ain't coming in there. They're not. They'd be like, no. I was with them not too long ago, and I asked them, like, you know, did y'all didn't do the shot, did you? They was like, heck, you know. They was like, did you forget who we were? He said, heck, you know. Did you forget who you talking to? Like, nope. I said, yeah, well, you know. No, it is what it is. It really is. It's unfortunate. But we just have to do what he say do. That's all we can do. Because we are truly set down in the midst of a mess. We are really sitting in the midst of a mess. It is truly a mess. And that ain't no lie. When you know, it's just really is very interesting to watch. That's all I can say. And it's something you can't change. This is their time. This is the time of the Gentile. You will not change this time. This is their time. Japheth's children are running the world right now. They are. Anybody else have any other questions?
Yes, I do.
Yes, ma'am.
So for the burial log, like, do you know where that's at in the scriptures?
For the what?
For the burial law. I think I said that right.
You think, like, you mean law burial law?
Yeah.
When you someone, you know what? I have not read any burial laws. Let me see. You know, I don't know. Let me see if there's any burial laws in there. Brother Leonard, have you ever read of any burial laws? Burying the dead. Let me see.
No.
It's Deuteronomy 21.
God,
man sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake to everlasting life. For the body without the spirit, Genesis, I'm a stranger, sojourning for burial ground. I know they had burial grounds. Deuteronomy, the body shall not remain all night upon a tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is a curse of Yah, that thy land be not defiled, which the Most High thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance. I really haven't, there's no laws per se that I've ever read that you have to bury them this way or they have to be. Now, they have, what I have noticed from reading the word in different scenarios, they bought caves and they put the bodies inside of caves, you know, and that's how they buried them, you know. And
yeah,
I think that Joseph was the first one that had ever been embalmed.
Yeah, I think if you go back when you were there, when you first started reading, when she first asked the question, is what I answered.
You mean Deuteronomy 21?
What you were reading earlier, first when she first asked the other question.
Oh, Numbers 19. And see, Numbers 19 doesn't say. It just talks about the touching of dead bodies.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but it answers the question. Because if you read all of that, it's going to tell you, you can see our culture in it, because of, or like it says, that when the priest do a certain thing, he has to go wash himself, and then he's like when they making a sacrifice, he got the blood all on him, like you were saying, he got blood all on him. He has to wash himself. He got to go change his garment, but another one come in to do it, because that one is unclean until evening.
Exactly.
So you apply all that to the funeral or dead body. Well, whoever handles that body, they're going to be unclean to a certain amount of time. So that's how that works, but it's not necessarily a burial way to burial process, but it's just about dealing with a dead body and being unclean. You know, you have to take that. You have to do what you have to do with the body, whether you put it in a cave or sepulchre or whatever. But you unclean. You have to go wash yourself, and you unclean till that evening, and then you make the, you know what I'm saying, make your sacrifice, and you become. And the water, that water separation.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah,
you got people like your children, mother, father, whatever that dealt with a dead body. If they ain't ever did that, they still unclean. And everybody else, they get everybody around them unclean.
Yeah, and then come home and cook, and they have meals and stuff. It's like, man. You know, it's just like, whoa. It's a lot. It's a lot to learn. It's a lot. Like I said, we just learning. You know, we're coming into our culture and we're learning. And you have to, you know, we We have to repent and do it according to his word, but it's a lot. It's a lot. Now, we just didn't know because, again, we're living in a society that doesn't follow his laws. So they teach us to do something totally opposite. You know, right after the funeral, we'd have been in the funeral with the dead body, and everybody done cried over it and stood over it, and some people done touched it. Then we go to the repast and eat dinner.
Right.
The whole thing, okay? When you think about it, the whole thing is backwards. It
right.
is. Everybody unclean. The food unclean, the clothes unclean, everybody unclean. And funerals nowadays have become just as popular as weddings. They putting on massive funerals with all kind of caskets with pictures on it and teddy bears, tattoos. It's all kind of stuff going on now. You know? And
Well, the angels make them go limp. You notice when I don't know if anybody can pick. The angels cause those, when they ain't counting those men, they cause them to go limp for a reason. Because they ain't going to run up on them and touch them and all that and make them unclean.
Yeah, I can believe that. I can, because it's just on there, you know, but we didn't know. And you can only do what you know. You know, but if you can cry all over mama and touch mama and daddy, but you're going to be unclean until you clean yourself. And everything about you, the clothes is unclean. Everything is.
Right.
But nobody wants to do that because it's too much. They'd be like, oh, that's just too much to do. That's too much. It takes too much. We can't do that. So, you know, that's what it is. It's just simple as that. But when you learn better, you do better. You have to do better. I mean, it's just simple as that. You know, we do the best we can for where we are in the society in which we live in. We do the best we can. That's all we can do. This is the real talk. I mean, you know. But in terms of burying a person and, you know, what they need to be, you know, they're not supposed to leave them hung on a tree. And they supposed to bury them the same day because back then they didn't embalm people. You know, it says Numbers 9:9-10, it says, and there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moshe and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back? That we may not offer an offering to the Most High in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moshe said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Most High will command concerning you. And the Most High spake unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Most High. Watch what he said. Let me get the rest of it, 6 through 10. In the 14th day of the second month at even, they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. He said, but the man that is clean and is not in a journey, and forbear to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Most High in his appointed season, that the man bear his sins. So, I mean, you know, he's got ordinances and backup plans for situations like that. You know, he just does. Unfortunate. You know, we just got to do what he tells us to do. Simple as that. It's hard. It's hard. It's real difficult. But we, like I said, when you learn better, you do better because we didn't know better. We knew not. All we did, we knew is what we knew, what we were taught by these people what to do. And we have been doing it their way from the beginning. And it's just been wrong. Completely wrong. Completely wrong. You know, so we just keep doing what we're doing. And let him do his thing. You know, because he knows where we are because he put us here. And he knows the challenges that it takes to do what we have to do because of where we are. He knows all that. You know? Anybody else? Any other questions? Comments? Hold on. Area code 717, your mic is open. You're on the air.
So the man takes the offering before the Most High. Have women ever done that? Are we allowed to make an offering to the Most High? Because it talks about always the man making an offering, a burnt offering or any offering. So do women make offerings at all?
Brother, Leonard, the men went up to the Most High how many times a year?
Three times, right?
Yeah, three times a year. So they were the ones that brought the offering. So they brought all of the information, and they were the ones to bring it when we're in our land.
Right, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the being unclean, the man. Each man has his own household. So if he unclean and he ain't did what he told him to do and wash himself and change his garment and separate himself, he go home and defile his whole household.
Mhm. Mhm. I think it's Deuteronomy 16:16. Let me see where it is. Here it is. Let me 16:17. It says, three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Most High your Elohim in the place which He chooses, at the feast of unleavened bread, at the feast of weeks, and at the feast of tabernacle. They shall not appear before the Most High empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessings of the Most High which he has given you. So that they did it three times a year.
Yeah,
now, the women went up. They went up for the Passover, but the men were the ones who had to do the presenting according to the scriptures.
Yeah, look what happened with Achan. When Achan stole the stuff. That's AI.
Let's see. You shall keep the feast of them. It says, Exodus 23, it says, verse 14, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days as I command thee in the time appointed of the month of Abib. For in it thou came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruit of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is at the end of the year, that's the feast of tabernacles, when thou hast gathered in thy labor out of the field, three times a year all males shall appear before the Most High. So all of this is in the scriptures, and we're going to get to all of those things. You know, but
yeah,
I want
to...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's where the drummer came at, understanding that right there. A lot of people don't understand when the tribe split. That's where the drummer came in at, even to this day, because of 10 tribes, the seed of David is out of David's lineage. There's always going to be a man on the throne out of David's lineage. Well, when they split, the 10 tribes is down in another place. But they're all obligated to do those three feet.
They are. They are.
So
everybody
is. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
So the king that was in Israel, over the nations out of Ephraim, he didn't want them to go up to Jerusalem because he figured they were going to all, he was going to woo all them back. So they built
mm-hmm.
another temple. It's all around him. Yeah.
Yep. You're right, and he created a whole nother Israel and a whole nother priesthood, remember?
Right.
That's what started all that. That's what got the 10 tribes in trouble in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's some interesting stuff. But I do want to say this. I want to make some clarity about the video we put up about the circumcision. You know, because we have to be very clear. Because we said that they have to be circumcised. We're talking about men, not women. Because you got some cultures that circumcise the women. And this is for the men. This is not for the women. You know. So I just want to make sure that I made that very clear, because I don't want anybody to mistake what we're saying. Circumcision is for the men. It's not for the women. And the reason why the women are talking about it is because most of our young mothers are single mothers that don't know that this is a covenant. They don't know. Well, so when that baby is born and they ask you that question, yes, you want him circumcised. Absolutely. Now, they won't do it for you on the eighth day, but because of the where we are. But we still have to have it done all the time. You know, this is the seriousness of it all. We have to tell them. We definitely have to let them know what is required and what we have to do is when it pertains to our men children. So, you know, I want to make sure I clear that up, because I don't want anybody to say, I should have been very specific, because we assume people know. When we do this, we cannot assume they know anything. We have to make sure you spell it out.
Right. Yeah, they going and praying. They going and praying and praying. Got children and fathers and sons and all that. You praying your heart out for them, but you didn't make it a point to make sure they were circumcised. He said,
"Yeah,
if they not circumcised, they're not under this covenant and they're destined for destruction."
Yeah, you know, you have to get circumcised even now. I know I've heard Hebrew Israelite teachers, men, say that the circumcision in the flesh don't need to be done. And I'm like, what world did you grow up in that you said that this is over with and you don't have to do this? These are teachers that are teaching now over the internet.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, well, we'll see. And them is some of the same ones that's throwing up them horn signals with their hands and stuff. And it's like, okay. They are telling them it is not necessary. Oh, it's just this very interesting situation. But we're learning. We're learning how to serve our Elohim in the best way we can in this captivity. Because like I said, everything you see, it goes totally against everything he says do. Look at the commercials on television when it comes to the food. And just watch what they serve and what they encourage you to eat. They know this stuff go against his law. Then they still promote it. They do. This is done purposely. You know, because as we put forth effort to do the best we can, and he sees that, he's got a date set where he's going to deliver us, because he knows that it's only so much we can do. It's only so much you can do. It's like the Feast of the Tabernacle. Who can take off work on their job for 7 days and do that? Because you're not supposed to do no servile work. So who can take off for 7 days on their job and keep the Feast of Tabernacle? Who can do that? Every year. It's impossible to do. So, I mean, you know, we do the best that we can. We put forth an effort. It's hard enough with the Sabbath, because the moment that they know that this is what you're doing, there is pushback. So, you know, it's very interesting. As we learn better, we do the best we can. But at least we put forth an effort. Because some people are like, well, I don't do none of it because we can't do it all. So anyway, you have to put forth an effort. You know? You know, we just learning as we go. No, it's just really, you know, but we do what we can. And we walk up the best way that we can. You know, but and people will come up to you, people who don't want to do right, they say, well, you supposed to be doing this, you don't do this, and y'all supposed to be wearing that, y'all don't wear that. And those are the people who want to continue doing wrong. So that justifies their wrongdoing. So we can do what we're doing, because y'all ain't supposed to wear mixed fabric, but you do. Y'all ain't supposed to do that. They know what we're not supposed to do, so they use that to justify their wrongdoing, because they know what they're doing is wrong. They know. So it's not a whole lot. You know, we do what we can. We do the best we can. Until he brings us out and delivers us to allow us to be able to really serve him the way that we want, that he allows us to, because that was the same issue in Egypt. The same thing. They were surrounded by the same thing. You know? It was the same thing. They were in an environment. The only difference was the Egyptians didn't commingle with the Hebrews. They didn't commingle with them. It was against the law for them to commingle with them. The only time that they did that is when they were using them as slaves and driving them to build their cities. But it wasn't no marrying no Hebrews and all that. It wasn't none of that. It wasn't. From what I study, it wasn't. You know, so it's very interesting. Anybody else have any questions? You know, questions about yesterday, last night, any questions at all whatsoever, you know. But I'm glad you brought that up. That was a good point. The circumcision was a good point because, like I said, that when what we read in Ezekiel 44, he said, you won't be around. Nobody's going to be in my tabernacle teaching and you're not circumcised. You're not. I've heard them say myself on the internet while they were teaching that it was not necessary anymore. That all you have to be is circumcised in the heart. That you know it's not necessary for you to be circumcised in the flesh. So, and young ladies, when you all have your babies, if you are listening to us under the sound of our voice, circumcise your sons. Not your daughters, your sons. That is a covenant between the Most High and the children of Israel. And he started with Abraham. Shoot, he was going to kill Moshe. After he gave Moshe the mission to go back to Egypt to deliver the children of Israel, on their way there, he was coming to kill Moshe because he didn't circumcise his son. His wife, the Midianite, had to circumcise her son with a rock to save his life. He's going to kill him. He was going to do him in. Exodus chapter 4. I'm going to read the scripture to you because y'all be saying y'all ain't have said nothing. Y'all ain't have said this. And she, Exodus chapter 4. This is some serious stuff. For real, he was going to kill Moshe. He was not playing with him. Exodus chapter 4, verses 24. Wait a minute, let's go up. Let's go up. This is, we start at 10 because he gave him the commandment that Moshe said unto the Most High, oh, my Elohim, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Most High said unto him, who have made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Most High? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. He gave him orders to go. And he said, O my Elohim, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Most High was kindled against Moshe and said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of Elohim. And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moshe went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moshe, go in peace. And the Most High said unto Moshe in Midian, go and return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moshe took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moshe took the rod of Yah in his hand. And the Most High said unto Moshe, when thou goest to return into Egypt, seest that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thy hand, but I will harden his heart that he will not let the people. Now, he on assignment. He has been given assignment. He's been given a partner. He's been given instructions. And he is on his way to do the will of the Most High Yah. And watch. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Most High, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now check this out. And it came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Most High met him and sought to kill him. And Zipporah, that's his wife, took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go, and then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. And the Most High said unto Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moshe. And he went and met him at the mount of Yah and kissed him. He was going to kill him because he had not circumcised his son. His wife had to do it. This ain't no joke. So, ladies, circumcise your baby. I know some men that have come into this knowledge and wasn't circumcised and went and got circumcised here in the late in these years. It's a prerequisite. It is a covenant, and it must be done. I mean, you know, that's just what he said. That's just what he said. So, you know, all you young girls that's having these babies out here that's listening under the sound of our voice, when your babies are born, make sure the doctor does it. Don't take it to the witch doctor. Don't let nobody do it in the back alley in the closet. Let the doctor do it. Because they were telling me that some of the camps that were in another country, I ain't going to name no names, was letting midwives do it, and they were cutting too deep, and they was maiming the boys and almost cut their stuff off, and they almost went to jail. So make sure it is a doctor that does it. Real. So, you know, these are the things that we have to learn. These are things that we have to learn. These are the things that are necessary to learn and how what he wants done, because we didn't know. We didn't know better. When you know better, you do better. I know a lot of people have found this out and have gone ahead and gotten circumcised. I know a lot of people have come and said, you know what, Yaina, I went and got circumcised. I want to make sure I'm in right standing. And they did. They went and got it done. I mean, you know, it's just something that we have to do. And it's just, you know, that we have to make sure it's done. So these are the things we teach our children. This is how you pass down his law, statutes, and his commandments. That's it. Anybody else have any other questions?
No, I just wanted to say that thank God that our grandparents, at least my grandmother and my mother, they knew about the circumcision, but they didn't tell me why. When I had, you know, my, she said, if you have a boy, she told me the same thing you're saying, make sure you get him circumcised. And I didn't know why they were saying that. I just thought they were just saying, have it done because this is something that has to be done on the males. But I'm glad that they did, you know, tell me. But now, you know, I'm older, my son grown, I'm glad that I did, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I remember I watched my sons get done. Their dad wasn't there when they, matter of fact, he came right after they did it. I was like, you just missed it. And I watched them do it. I watched them do that. I mean, and it's something that they have to have done. And, you know, I asked one of the nurse practitioners if they were able to do it, and they were like, no, we're not able to do it only because the doctors took it back. We used to could do it, but we don't do it anymore. The doctors do it. Now, you know, and I was like, well, is it a reason? She said, no, it's just a money thing. They do it. They make sure they're the ones that do it, you know, so it is what it is, you know. It just is what it is. I know one brother, he was able to get his son circumcised on the eighth day, and he asked the doctor if he brought him back on the eighth day, would they circumcise him? And she said, yeah. And they did. They circumcised him on the eighth day. So they may even do that if you ask the doctor to do it, you know, because it's just so much stuff we run up against in this society because there's so much opposition to us being who we are. You know, it just depends, I guess, each individual case. You know. But, you know, we just have to keep educating our children to have that done. And like I said, there's a lot of grown men whose mothers didn't do it, but they have to do it. They have to get it done. You know, and there's something that has to be done. You know. So, and they, you know, we were told at the time it was for hygiene purposes. It was a covenant. This is what it is. That's just how it is. You know, so like I said, when you learn better, you do better. We do the best we can. All we can do. Until we are in a position where we are able to do it and learn specifically and follow according to what he says. And that day is coming. It's definitely coming because we're not going to continue in this condition the way we are because we have served the 400-year sentence. It's been served. We have to go back where we came from, and he has to put us in a place of safety so that we can do what we're supposed to do. Now, it's not going to change the dynamic of anything because they will still be in Jerusalem and everything will still be the same way it is, but we have to be delivered from here because that's the prophecy. That's the prophecy. It's real, it just is what it is. So it is what we do. And that's what we are waiting on, you know, to be able to be delivered so we can go and worship him the way we are supposed to, not the way that the religions do it, you know, not the way that they set things up. And, you know, when you watch it today and you see these religious programs on television, you just wonder, like, how in the world did I get caught up in that? You know, but it was something that was passed down from one generation to the next. It really was. It was passed down. Yes, we were taught what they taught us, you know, this, and we taught our children. This is how you meet God. This is how you get to know God. But we didn't realize that it was their God that we was meeting. It was not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was not. So it is what it is. No, but it's good to meet him. It's good to know him. It is good to be able to understand some things about him. You know. And that's just all it is. I mean, you know, we're doing our best. And, I mean, he has to know that we're doing our best. We're doing the best we can. You know, and sometimes it does. It gets frustrating because the more you know, the more you're ready to experience him on a different level, but you have to wait. And that's the hardest part is the waiting because you have to wait. He has a specific date and time for it all to happen, and it's going to happen when he says so, not when anybody else says so, you know. Now, don't forget tonight, we're going to be meeting back tonight on our Sabbath day call at 8 o'clock so that we can end the first day of the Feast of Tabernacle, Holy Convocation. We're going to meet and end that so that we can assume our regular activities and everything. And then next Sunday night, we're going to meet at 8 o'clock to have the eighth day feast, and then we'll be done with that. And then I think that ends all of the feast days for the year. Make sure we get all those done, and then we'll start it again. Because what we want to do for 2024 is we are really trying to organize a Passover that we can invite other people to. And when I say other people, I mean people of, you know, the different, you know, some of the religions that we come out, some of the family members, you know, because when we used to have a Passover in a building, we had people coming from everywhere. I mean, we had family members, friends, everybody came. I mean, it was a really big deal. You know, it wasn't a lot of people, like thousands of people, but we had a nice group of people that came for the Passover. You know, like we said, we having the Passover, and everybody came. So I think what I'm going to try to do this year for my family is to make sure that every household in my family has somebody there and make the meal so that they can come together and celebrate the Passover, because we really have to start doing that, because, you know, we're getting ready to leave here, and the Passover was the night before the children of Israel left Egypt. That's how significant it is. The Passover is very important, and we have to begin to start practicing that. We have to begin to start putting emphasis on how important that is. We cannot leave the Passover out. Have to. You know, so I just want to make sure we understand that. You know, buy you some red ribbon in advance. Don't wait until the next year to get it. Buy you a spool of red ribbon, because we put that over the doorpost instead of the blood. So I'm just putting it out there now. We're going to start now to announcing that, and you know, we're going to start, you know, talking to some people about celebrating the Passover with us, because we've got to get ready for the Passover. Oh, because that was it. That they left right after that. They was up and out of there right after the Passover. You know, they got up and left. That's why they ate with their clothes on, because they had to leave right after that. You know, so we have to really begin to get ready for that. And again, to the warning to the people who are out there misleading y'all's people, you know, you better be careful. I mean, for real. You better really be careful with what you're saying and doing. All these banks set up, and what they going to do with our money, and you got to be at a certain coastline and all this. You better be careful. Be careful. You know, make sure you better be careful, because this is serious. This is really serious. And see, the 400 years took off, you know, once they passed that law, it took off, and then everybody started having celebrations and all this kind of stuff, and the black colleges got involved and all that kind of stuff. But we know what it meant, what it really meant. This is going to be different. We got to be careful. What we say and do, and how we respond to all this stuff, because it's coming. His word is not going to come back void. It is not. I don't care who having concerts and who building houses. Life is going to continue to go on, and they're going to continue. It's going to keep on. It's going to keep the world going to keep on turning. But the Most High's word is going to perform itself. It will not return back unto Him void. And He sent that word out thousands of years, 5,000 years ago. That's a 5,000-year-old prophecy. And we've only fulfilled half of it. Church going to still be around, and they're going to still be collecting money, and they're going to still be standing over that pool singing the word to you. They're going to still be doing all that stuff. But Israel has to get ready, because the Most High said we was leaving. And His word, we can't fulfill half and not fulfill the rest of it. You can't do it. Can't do it. You got to know. You got to be able to get your family members ready to know. You got to start dropping that knowledge to them, like, you know, we're leaving. We are leaving. We have fulfilled half of this prophecy. We leaving. Even if they give you pushback, leaving, where you going? I ain't going nowhere. I just graduated from college. No, and none of that will mean anything. It's over. That's over. Now, we're not telling you not to go. You do whatever you need to do to appease the time that you're here so that you can maintain your lifestyle and take care of yourself. But when the time comes and he said, we leaving, we're leaving. And they know we are. Oh, who making that noise? Let me see. Who is making that noise? Who making that noise? You got to cut that noise out now. I'm checking so I can mute folks. Making that noise. Woo! We getting ready to get out of here. At the appointed time. At the appointed time, we're going to get out of here, and it's coming. Ain't going to be too many more days in. It's not. You know, I don't know what part of the land of Canaan he's going to put us on, but we going back to the land of Canaan, the land that he gave unto our forefathers. He gave that unto us. That's our land. And it has been divvied up between many nations. But we going back. We got to go home. How we going to live when we get there, I don't know. I don't know who that is, but y'all going to have to cut that noise out. Brother Leonard, was that you? Brother Leonard, you should be shamed. It's going to be a difference. It's going to be a beautiful time. You know, it's going to be a beautiful time. It ain't going to be a dry eye in the place, but it's going to be time to go. And it's going to happen, like I tell everybody, you know, it ain't going to be no long, drawn-out goodbyes. It ain't going to be no parties being thrown. It's going to be time to go. It's like, well, you know what? I gotta go. You know, it's gonna be time to go. We're gonna be on the same way we leave is the same way we came is the same way we gonna leave by boat. We came by boat, we leave by boat. It don't matter how much they try to ignore our history and erase certain things. We came by boat, we leaving by boat. No. You know, like I said, we have been preparing for this for a very long time. We're waiting patiently on the Most High. We're keeping His laws, statutes, and His commandments to the best of our ability. And we are trying to live a life of righteousness and honorable life before Him to the best of our ability. That's all we can do. You know, I don't have no hatred in my heart for nobody. I don't. I just really don't. I don't have that. You know, I'm just ready. I'm ready to meet the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, I've met him in the Word, and I know his character by his Word, but I'm talking about show enough. I'm ready, I think. You know. We watch the YouTube channels, and we watch people in Mount Sinai climbing the mountains and going all up in the caves and all that stuff. They just have just... It's just a lot, you know, and he's not there, you know, because once he gets there, won't nobody be allowed there. So we watch a lot of things, you know, and I would be fascinated with it too if I was able to, you know, to actually, I don't know if I want to go. I mean, the real job, I don't know if I want to even have that experience. I just don't know. But they climbing up on the top, you know, they standing on the burnt rocks and taking pictures and stuff, and they like, this is phenomenal. Well, this is really real. We knew it was real without having that experience. We knew it was real. We know. You know, so we just do it just one day at a time. That's all we can do is live one day at a time and do the best that we can. But for most of the part, don't forget tonight, because I'm not going to stay on here too much longer, but don't forget tonight at 8 o'clock we're going to come and we're going to, you know, in the Holy Convocation for the Feast of Tabernacle, and then we can assume our regular activities and stuff, and then we'll be able to do what we need to do. Anybody have any more questions, comments, or anything? Please push one. Anybody have any other questions, comments, announcements, anything? Please push one. Please feel free to do that. Well, like I said, this Passover thing is real serious for 2024. This is real serious for 2024, and we really want everybody to do it. We do it in our homes. It is not a celebration of a hall. This was the last night before they were leaving Egypt. They were in their homes preparing to leave. It is done in your home, and we're going to do what we need to do to make sure that we do this together. Make sure that's it. All right, so if there's nothing else, I'm not going to keep talking. You guys enjoy the rest of the first day of the week and the Holy Convocation. We'll see you at 8 o'clock tonight. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Shalom.
Shalom, family.